All right, we are too far into the Major League Baseball season to be saying it is week X, so we're just going to get right into this episode and see where it takes us. Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Side Retired. It is Dylan, Nico, and Henry. As always, James Taustig is apparently at SeaWorld right now. So shout out to James for having a great night, not on the podcast with us. But we are here talking all things baseball, as we usually do. Again, as we mentioned, we're a month and a half into the season, so we're probably around week six in baseball. But boys, how are we doing?
Doing well, bro. I mean, can't complain. You know, just trying to talk some shop, bro.
Henry.
Yeah, nothing too crazy. It's like, I don't know, it's weird because like you're starting to have like real concrete substantiated feelings about your team, but it's also like May just started. Yeah. So as we move into the summer months, I think that May, as always, is going to be a real formative time for how we think standings are going to shake out come September.
So it almost goes along with the phrase that we've been using. It's not a big deal, but I think we're reaching the point in the season where some of these things are big deals and they are actually legit. So we're going to start in the weird National League East, where we're going to start off with, it's not a big deal, but the Phillies are in first place by three games.
I believe I said this.
I talked about this on last week's show. When Dylan was not here and I got to take the reins. But the weird thing is, for the last 2 years, before this year, we had these high expectations for the Phillies in the regular season. And then they'd always disappoint. And then the second half, they'd get hot and they'd get hot going into the playoffs. This year, it's kind of different. They've been firing on all cylinders since the beginning of the year. They've been right there with the Braves. When usually we go and we see them at like third, and at this time we're calling questions like, oh, are the Phillies doing well? Are they in trouble? And then they always find it out. Again, they can keep this going because we've seen them keep this going for an extended period of time. Their rotation looks to be in October form because we know that that's always what they are. Again, biggest thing though is Trey Turner being out for the next 6 weeks, I believe. Yeah, that's massive for them. Definitely, especially when you take into the fact that like Castellanos hasn't gotten going. Like Harper's having a good year, but a lot of the guys in their lineup haven't gotten going. So especially if you can't expect that rotation to be as good as it's been forever, it's obviously going to have a little bit of regression. If they want to stay there, they need guys like Castellanos and Schwarber to start picking it up again.
Henry.
Yeah, I mean, Nico sort of summed it up, but at the end of the day, the Phillies are a good baseball team. We knew this. And the jerseys don't look half bad, if I do say so myself.
I like the jerseys.
I kind of like them. I think all of the jerseys so far this year look great on field.
The Mets, they don't look bad. The Mets apparently are wearing them as their like regular uniforms now, which is a little odd. They've worn them three of their last five games at home. So maybe this is now the new Mets jersey. But speaking of the Mets, it's not a big deal, but they've lost seven of their last 10. They were swept out of Tampa. Edwin Diaz was smiling, and Frank the Tank called him Ed Lose again for the first time, although this was Diaz's first blown save in exactly 2 years. So let's chill a little bit. But
yeah, it's almost like he didn't play last year.
Well, no, it was since May, like the second week of May of 2022. So it's still impressive.
I know. But a little generous to say in 2 years now.
Okay, but it's not a big deal, but what are the Mets? Because they're now two games under 500 again.
Can I start with this?
Absolutely.
Sorry. I think we're going to be asking this question by the first week in September. truly, will they be a horrible team? No. But will you feel confident that they're even going to be in the playoff race down the stretch? Also, no. I think that we are not going to have a concrete answer pretty much, I think, until the season ends. Unless, like, some magic happens, there's just so much weirdness surrounding this team that it's only, like, random players who are performing popping up that I don't think you're going to be able to be like, all right, this is our core. This is who we're going to make a run with. And I'm feeling confident going into October.
Nico.
I mean, yeah, the thing with this team is they just, nothing's really great about them. I mean, their runs, it's weird because, like, they don't do anything particularly well. Like, they don't hit well. Nimmo's hitting 218. Lindor's hitting 202. And Pete Alonso's being Pete Alonso, just hitting a ton of bombs at 214. They don't pitch well. I mean, Severino's had a good year.
Can I push back there? The bullpen's top five in ERA. So I'll give them that.
No bad. Your starting pitching doesn't pitch well. Yes. I mean, Hauser just got sent down. Thank God. Quintana has a 5 ERA. Manea's actually put together a nice little year, and so has Severino. But it's like, what's the strength of this team? And the big thing, like, for me is, like, usually when you do, like, nothing well, you would think, oh, if you do everything average, you end up being an average team. Usually it's not that. Usually it's if you don't do anything well, you usually suck. And that's what scares me about this team is, like, okay, like, I think that there's a chance that they're middle of the pack in, like, every category at the end of the year. But the thing is, I don't think that translates to wins. When you see a team like the Mariners, who go and just pitch exceptionally well, even though they're hitting lacks, that's how they win games. I don't see what the formula is right now for the Mets to win games, because there's nothing that I can really point to, because the things I'd usually point to, Lindor and Pete Alonso and Nimmo, aren't really going like they should. And we knew that their pitching was a little bit suspect going into the year. So there's a lot of question marks that are just like, how are the Mets winning ball games? Like, what's their recipe besides Edwin Diaz coming in the ninth, which we just saw blew a save?
Well, I think the stat to point out, and credit to StatMuse, which is a great website for people who don't know it, where you can basically, like, plug in any prompt that you want, and it usually spits out a good answer. The prompt I just typed in, 2024 Mets record without Francisco Alvarez in the lineup, 5-13. That's a telling statistic of that. It seems like when Alvarez isn't by there, whether it's Omar Narvaez or Tomas Nito, they're not cutting it. And the Mets are definitely in an interesting position. I think it's exactly what you said, is that they're never going to be too far out of it, but they're never going to be in a playoff spot. And it's going to be just around 500. I will say what they did well. Christian Scott, dominant in his first start. 7 innings, 1 run, looked really good, had the confidence of a vet. I'm going to make the statement, could be the best homegrown pitcher that the Mets have had since DeGrom. When you think about it. Exactly. I think he's better than Syndergaard. I think he's better than Mats. I think he's could be better than Wheeler on the Mets. Getting that out there before.
Whoa.
On the Wheeler on the Mets had like a 4. So
I know, but like.
Better than Lugo, better than Gesellman. So it's not a high bar, but I think Christian Scott's one of those guys that 5 years from now, if he's still the 2, I don't think anyone's getting crazy about it. But something that people are going crazy over, it's not a big deal, but my God, the Marlins.
It pisses me off so much, because the thing is, like, when you look at the trade, like, are we going to get into the Urias trade, or do we just want to talk about how bad the Marlins are?
Both, all-encompassing, this organization.
We'll talk about, because the thing is, I think, again, from an X's and O's perspective, I don't think the trade's terrible. Again, you got like 3 or 4 prospects, like, multiple top 31. The problem is just from, like, what the optics is, which is that this is just a failed organization that less like a half a year ago were in the playoffs, which is not what should happen. Especially when you look at, there's a lot of reasons that you shouldn't have reset and maybe like, oh, we're going to take this year off. Alcantara's hurt. A lot of guys have been on the injured list. Some guys are starting to get going. Some guys haven't just really been performing. There's a lot of things to look at that you can be like, okay, reset, go next year. And just the trade of Arias just shows like the incompetence of what they've done over the last half year. I don't think that the trade was terrible, but it's from being a guy from Miami, like, it's, you see all this hope that happened, and then you see so much happen in the last half year that makes you be like, where are we going, when you just saw so much promise that, yeah, the trade may not be bad, but it's what the trade represents in general that has everyone pissed.
Henrik.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of easy for me to say, because, like, the Yankees don't, like, revamp in the same sense, but, like, it's like, it's so frustrating seeing teams just like actively throw in the towel at the beginning of May. And like, whether it's just like, because it's not even like the roster construction is horrible, right? They just got cursed with a ton of injuries, but they quit. The A's are 500. The A's. If that's not proof enough that anything is possible in baseball, then I don't know what is. Like, it's just, it's very frustrating to see the team just legitimately wave the white flag, like, especially this early on.
It was like before May 1st, they were already giving up on a team that won playoff games last year. And I know they are sliding out of it. The thing is, they're already 8 games out of the wild card. So you could argue that, okay, they're already burying themselves in April. And there's a common phrase of that. You can't win a division in April, but you can sure lose it. And you could argue 2024 wasn't going to be the Marlins year for whatever reason. But trading Arias, who, Nico, correct me if I'm wrong, Latin players usually do well in the Latin market, like Miami, that the fan base embraces them. They love to celebrate them. I think that's why a guy like Jorge Soler thrived there over the past few years. So, and that's not a stereotype. That's just a fact at this point. So I think trading Arias, who was the modern day Tony Gwynn, obviously not comparing him to Tony Gwynn, but hits 350, 200 hits a season, perennial all-star leadoff hitter type guy. And don't get me wrong, Dylan Head, great player. The 4 guys in total, Wusucko is going to be a solid reliever for the Marlins. But it seems odd to give up on a guy that's probably one of the clubhouse veteran leaders on a young team that he should be there on a relatively cheap contract for the next 5 years.
And the thing is, like, there's so many questionable moves that they've done. Like for example, like, I don't get the rhyme or reason why a guy like Skip Schumacher, who in his first year, you guys made a playoff with a team that, again, especially with Alcantara at the end, shouldn't have been there.
Yeah.
Overperformed. Like, what are you doing, like, cutting his contract and having him go? Like, I don't get that. It's just the start of this new tenure with Bendix has just been an utter disaster. It's been like, I don't see what hurts me is I don't see what move they're going to make that's going to make me be like, oh, great. Because, I wouldn't be shocked if – I wouldn't be shocked if Arias is the only one, not the only one on the block. I think that there's a lot of people that they can go and just try and trade. Because, again, it's just this, and like he came out and said, like, oh, I think it's like way too early to like diagnose things. I think that we've seen like a lot of things that we like out of our two catchers. We're hitting like a combined 180, which is just like, what do you see good if your two catchers are hitting 180? All I see is outs. Like, it's just, what pains me is that we went and we had such a good outlook at the end of October. And then now we're sitting on May 5th. And it's like, what the hell is this team doing? We're right back to where we were 6 years ago.
I think, and I know, Nico, you love doing these now where we like quote it and put it in a graphic. I wouldn't be stunned if in the next 2 weeks, Tanner Scott is out of here and on his way to Chicago to be the Cubs closer.
I wouldn't be shocked. Well,
I think he's the perfect reliever.
Who's safe on this roster?
I wouldn't be stunned if Jazz is a Dodger in August either.
I wouldn't be shocked if Jazz is, like, I don't see, besides guys who the only reason they're safe is because they're hurt.
Yeah.
I don't see who's safe on this roster.
Not Alcantara is safe, Berger. And Yuri Perez is safe.
But that's Berger could easily get traded.
Yep.
Easily. Bell could get traded. Chisholm could get traded. Like, every single guy in this team, if you told me they got traded at the deadline, I would not be surprised.
Yeah. Moving on to a less controversial division. It's not a big deal, but the NL Central is shaping out exactly as we thought, of the Brewers and the Cubs battling out as solid teams above 500. The Pirates and the Reds, not there quite yet, but showing flashes. And then we've got the Cardinals currently sitting 6 games out of first and probably going to be thinking about a Goldschmidt trade the deadline.
Yeah, I think that it's weird. We were talking about this last week. I think every single team here has like a formula for making the playoffs and winning their division. It's just in terms of like executing it. Like, you bring up the Cardinals. Like, the Cardinals, again, they're 2 guys that are supposed to be leading this offense, just simply aren't hitting. I mean, Goldschmidt, you're talking about him getting traded. I don't know who's going to trade for him with a 596 OPS right now with the contract that he has.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was a 1-year deal, so that's the only
positive. Oh, 1-year deal. Okay, then maybe yes.
Yeah, he's a rental at the end of this year.
Again, you look at their whole, the only guy who's hitting is Wilson Contreras. Like, really, the only guy who's hitting, and then Arenado's hitting average. They really don't hit, which is the biggest problem, especially when we knew that a big problem with them was going to be that the rotation was going to be up to par. Sonny Gray's done well since he came back from injury, as I said he would. But again, I think every single team has a reason that they could win it. But at the end of the day, I think it's going to be just like you said, the Cubs and the Brewers, Cubs with Shota Imunaga, and the Brewers with Freddy Peralta, and Yelich is eventually going to come back. Those are going to be the two teams, because it's kind of been the two teams every single year.
Yeah. I was more hopeful for the Cardinals. It's really disappointing to see. It really makes it feel like 2022 was the hoax. Or sorry, there was the fluke. It was a fluke. 2022 was the fluke. And that's very disappointing to see. But what are you gonna do? No, it's no excuse not to blow it up. Keep your young guys, blow it up. Frankly, Sonny Gray, he was hurt. Has a 0.87 to start the season. So like, he's been phenomenal. Keep him around. But other than that, you gotta get rid of all your aging players.
It's not a big
And the thing that's scariest to that, what you're saying, is the guys that we were seeing, like, oh, this is going to be the future lineup when Nato and Goldschmidt are gone, aren't doing well either. I mean, Gorman has a 592 OPS. Walker got sent back down to AAA. Wynn has shown flashes, has around like a 700 OPS. Newt Barr can't hit. Like, all the guys here, like, this is supposed to be like, when Nato and Goldschmidt are gone, they're supposed to lead the Cardinals into like their next like round of success. They're not doing anything. So it definitely calls into question, what do you do now? But if you're going to blow up and build for the future, can you bank on these guys that you saw flashes of for your next future? And I don't know if you can right now.
Where are they picking this year in the draft? It's somewhat high, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it's pretty high. I can look right now.
Can they get a Jack Caglione to restart?
Oh, no. Isn't it lottery?
They are seventh. So
Cags default to them, but also Cags won't do both, most likely.
They could get a Chase Burns at seven, and there's your ace, because I know the Cardinals pitching has been
right now. They have them slotted getting
Kurtz won't be there.
Agent Smith.
Okay.
Which is up
there. Yeah.
Agent Smith will lead an MLB rotation one
day. Yeah, he's gross.
Next topic. It's not a big deal, but as a DH only, Shohei Ohtani is on pace for a 23 WAR season. I don't even know how that's possible, but here we are.
Because he's the best player to ever play the game. Why did anybody else think that anything different was going to happen? You thought an Ohtani who doesn't have to deal with the wear and tear of pitching wasn't going to be gross?
He's hitting 350.
He's the best player I've ever seen play. He's incredible.
Anything else to add?
I would agree. It's not a big deal, because like at the end of the day, this is like – the expectation. Like, I think that everything that like people were saying, like people were talking about, oh, maybe he'll regress, I think that was just like wishing upon a star, like, and hoping that the best player isn't the best player anymore, because everything he does at this point is just not surprising in the slightest. I mean, he's like, because it's weird, like it's almost grown stale, because like he'll go and he'll hit a ball 450 feet and I'll be like, oh, it's Ohtani. Okay, it's another Tuesday, because just like everything he does is just so out of the ordinary, but we, at the same time, we see it every week.
Yeah, and I will say the last topic for the National League before we move on, fan of Georgetown baseball, Paul Skenes gave up his first home run as a pro player. Took a year, but he finally gave up.
Broad, set as his complex league.
His ERA is sitting at a nice 0.69 ERA so far in the season. But yeah. The National League playoff picture, Phillies, Dodgers, and Brewers are leading the division. The Braves have a handy lead on the first wild card. The Cubs are the second wild card. And if you had to guess, the third wild card is...
Ooh, you're going to say that. Is it the Mets?
No, it's the Washington Nationals are the third wild card right now. Look at the Nats! Padres right behind them, and Arias is joining them, and I believe he had a multi-hit game in his first game in a Padre uniform.
That's his first base coach.
Yeah. We've got Reds, Mets, Pirates, Cardinals, Diamondbacks, Giants all the way down there, Marlins, and the Rockies. Moving on, American League. Let's move quicker because we're running out of time. AL, Yankees, a game back of the Orioles. Red Sox, 4.5 back. Rays getting back into it, 6.5. And then there's the struggling Blue Jays. AL East commentary. Go, fellas.
I want just Juan Soto. Done.
Nico?
I think it's shaping up a lot like how we thought. It was going to meeting with the Orioles and the Yankees at the top. I think that the Rays and the Blue Jays are going to be fine. I think they're going to end up at around 500, probably above 500. Every single team in this league, in this division, is good. I think that things are going to get really interesting when, like, division ball really starts to get going. We saw with, like, the Yankees and Orioles this week. A lot of things can move because, again, it's always been a dogfight. Like, you can lose any series to any team in this division. So, like, I think I wouldn't be surprised if my Red Sox, who are third now, end up in fifth, and the Blue Jays get hot and may, or the Rays get hot and end up at second, because, like, with how much of a dogfight it is in this division, like, you can gain two games just like that from winning a division opponent. So I don't think, especially as we start getting into the dog days of summer, when we get to like June, July, it could really get interesting. Anything to know? I mean, Rays look good against the Mets.
Don't panic about Jackson Holliday, even though he's hitting 170 in AAA. He'll be back. He'll be fine. Might be time to panic on Alek Manoah coming back and doing the same thing.
Oh, it's not panic. What do you mean panic? He's ass. He's horrible.
AL Central. The Twins are making it a race. They won 12 in a row, 13 in a row to catch up to the Cleveland Guardians. They're still 2.5 back. I think I wouldn't be stunned if both these teams end up making the playoffs. Royals and Tigers are good. Don't know if they're going to win the division, but they're solid teams that'll compete for a wild card spot. Shout out Seth Lugo, continues to dominate, another 7 shutty this week. And then, my God, the White Sox still haven't won 10 games this year.
Yeah, now I'm believing the hype that they're the worst team ever.
You know the whole thing about Major League and that the owner secretly needs the attendance to go all the way down in order for the team to move out of the city. That's the premise of that great baseball movie, yeah. And we'll have a debate if that's the best baseball movie, but we'll save that for another day. You're the White Sox, and you know, in order to get out of the South Side, move to Nashville.
You've been saying this.
And they keep losing. Although, congrats to the White Sox on a 2-game win streak this weekend, taking care of business against the St. Louis Cardinals. Wow, the Cardinals lost the series to the White Sox.
Hey, they're 500 in their last 10 games. The boys are hot.
Look at that. Don't let the boys get hot. Finally, AL West. Mariners, first place. Rangers, half a game back. Shout out to the Oakland A's, though they lost today, so they're back to a game under 500. Astros are scuffling. And then the Angels are around there as well. Thoughts on the AL West?
It's such a weird amalgamation of teams right now. I had a buddy who was like, you know what? It's a tie game for the Astros right now. I believe in them. I'll throw a dollar on them. Boom! Immediately, hater blows it. Hater's fraudulent. That's all I'm going to say. Every clip I see of him, he's blowing a save.
Yeah, I think the big thing with the Mariners are like, because again, they're in first place. So I think one of the things we have to talk about is like their viability of winning the AL West. Like, where's Julio? Like, we've talked about, like, how he's gotten to, like, slow starts before. Last year, he got to a slow start. And then when the second half happened, we saw, like, the Julio that we expected. But this team needs him to get hot because it's very similar to, like, what we were talking about when we look at a team like the Phillies that has been mainly driven by the rotation. This team won't survive the AL West if Julio isn't Julio. It's that simple. Like, if Julio has a 635, which he won't, if he has a 700 OPS the whole year, they're losing the division. It's that simple. It's going to get lost because I don't have faith in Logan Gilbert keeping a 1.6 ERA and Bryce Miller keeping a 2.0 ERA. Look, obviously, like, Castillo and Kirby have been throwing well lately. They've gotten down from, like, the 7 ERAs they had to a 3.5 and a 3.8. But at the same time, if Julio Rodriguez, their big offensive acquisitions in Jorge Polanco and Mitch Haniger, if they all kind of stay at a 6-something OPS, they're not even going to make the playoffs. I just genuinely don't think this could last if they keep on having a bottom 20 offense.
Well, the guy I'm concerned about, same ilk, Corbin Carroll is hitting 190 this year. And not that anybody saw. I know. Well, I'm just thinking out loud of guys that are struggling. And not that that's, we're going to say we saw it coming, but looking at Corbin Carroll's underlying numbers from last year, he was bottom half of the league in barrel percentage, bottom half of the league in sweet spot, 50% in hard hit, 50% in chase rate, 50% in walks. So not that we saw that Corbin Carroll was going to hit 190 this year, but looking back, there were some signs that he might not be a superstar. And the problem with the Diamondbacks, it feels like they're built right now almost in a similar ilk to the Mariners. That's why I brought it up, in that there's this young superstar that's supposed to catapult this team with a very solid rotation behind him in Gallen and Merrill Kelly and Jordan Montgomery, and E-Rod's on the shelf, and I believe Zach Gallen's going on the IL as well now too. So
no, I think Merrill Kelly's going on the IL.
I thought Gallen left his start early. I might be crazy.
Oh, he may have. I know. I'm pretty sure Merrill Kelly went on the IL.
Zach Gallen left his start early. Yes. So Diamondbacks are in trouble. Yeah. Maybe James Taussig got it right this year.
Merrill Kelly moved to 60-day IL.
So he's gone too. E-Rod's gone. And the numbers on Corbin Carroll this year have been god-awful. He's in the bottom 10% now in all those statistics I just mentioned. Exit velo, hard to hit, sweet spot, chase rate. So figure it out. Or AAA might be calling. Probably not. But
no, crazy absolutely thing. Not.
But to round things out in the American League, we've got on the power ranking standings, according to MLB.com, it is, if I can pull this up, Orioles, Guardians, and Mariners leading the way in the divisions. And then the Yankees, the Twins, and the Royals are sneaking in right now as that third wild card, with Boston, Texas, and Detroit all a game out. And don't sleep on the A's, three games out. So, brings us to the point in the week. Our MVPs are, I have three nominees, if I can throw them out there, but
go ahead.
I have one MVP.
Nico, you want to go first? Nico, go first then.
Again, another homer pick. Like, my MVP is Andrew Bailey, the pitching coach.
I like it.
I'm going to give you guys a guess. How many pitchers do you think have started games for the Red Sox?
Love now.
10.
Very close. 9 different pitchers have started for them because of injuries. And the fact that we're third with a rotation that we thought was going to be terrible in runs allowed per game, I think is just phenomenal. Again, I talked about it a little bit like at the beginning of the year that I didn't know the viability of what was going on. But it seems like, especially as we've gone more into like April, now beginning May, that it's not just the fact that they're throwing a lot more off speed. It's that Andrew Bailey has, it seems like he's taken a focus on every single guy who's coming out of the pen and starting, and just made them better. I don't know what he's done. I don't know if it's that he was a former pitcher. I don't know if that he's analytics. I don't know what it is, but it works. Cause I think, especially with a guy like Tanner Houck, that every single Red Sox fan saw the potential of what he could be, especially when like people would do like side by sides of him his rookie year with Sale. I think like every Red Sox fan got like a boner. And now that it seems like, again, we don't want to get like ahead of ourselves, but it seems like he's going to tap into some of that. Like, it's just amazing to see. And he's done it with 9 different people. Cooper Criswell has no business going 5 innings, 1 hit baseball against any team. And I love Cooper Criswell, but he has no business doing that. So, again, Andrew Bailey, I love you.
Henry, you want to go or you want me?
Begrudgingly, just before I give mine, I hate Tanner Houck because that stupid Instagram account. But, boy, he's been a pleasure to watch, man. He's been so good. I'll give my MVP to – we were just talking about his team and how they've been finding a lot of success, but they have lost one of their best hitters and one of their best infielders. But frankly, if Brayson Stott slugs .867 for the rest of the year, I think they'll be just fine. A 1,400 OPS this week, and have yourself a week, dude. And frankly, they're going to need it, especially from – I feel like we always group him and Bohm together. If Brayson Stott and Alec Bohm find success, I think the Phillies will be just fine in Turner's absence.
You had 2 chances there to do the Brayson Stott, and the Phillies would be A-OK. And you blew both of those opportunities.
Because I'm not a cornball.
Because I'm not corny. I will say for mine, it's going to transition us. The first one, obviously, I could go with Christian Scott, Major League debut. Everyone probably saw that coming as my answer. But the other one's a two-parter. One, it's the anti-like player of the week, but person of the week. You got to give Jose Abreu credit for telling the Astros, send me to the complex league. I'm not performing right now. I will waive my, I think it's like he had the right to say, no, I'm not going to the minors. But apparently he went to them and said, I'm awful right now. I don't want to go to AAA, but send me to the Florida League and I will just work on my swing and get live at bats and face our injured pitchers and get back there. So obviously
I feel so bad for those pitchers.
It would be weird for me to call Jose Abreu the player of the week, given that he got sent down to single A. But
ego of the week.
Ego of the week.
Way to check your ego.
We needed to shout out Jose Abreu, and everyone else is slamming. Oh, Jose Abreu is done. He's like good human. And he could have easily taken this into a bad situation and been like, oh, I'm the starting first baseman. I'm getting paid $20 million a year. I'm playing. But he realized it's not been great. Goes down to AAA. Nico, you were saying what team needs a first baseman? Hello. And we'll see what happens on that front. But the other one for player of the week, the Houston Astros have had a bad season. And what we've started to realize is when teams have bad years, they start looking towards their top prospects. And the Houston Astros just promoted their number 10 prospect, Jake Bloss, to AA after having a 1.98 ERA in high A ball. And he proceeded to go six innings today of two runs, hit 97, six Ks, zero walks. All I'm going to say is if Jake Bloss keeps doing that as one of the Astros' top pitching prospects when Verlander's traded in August, don't be surprised when Jake Bloss is in the Astros starting rotation this year. And I think that's one thing to be excited about. I know I got to see it hands-on all of last year.
Hoya Saxa.
Jake Bloss, about to be a big leaguer because he's hitting 97, throwing six shutty in his double-A debut this weekend. So I know Cape and I were locked in on that. So things we love to see. But let's round things out because we always like to go from the happy. I never understand why we go from the positives to the massive negatives to round out the episode. But the HKO of the week. There's a couple of them. Peter Bendix is a big face and candidate in this one.
I hate that
Thoughts?
Guy. I hate that guy so much. I hate him.
Do we have any other nominees?
Manoah.
I don't see how you could choose it over a guy who's heading the team that fired Kim Ng and is now actively losing.
I hate that guy.
They're so actively much. Trying to lose. It's so Peter. It's Bendix. It's not really.
I hate him.
There's can't call Mike Trout's injury. Like Mike Trout's injury history could be the HK of the week because it's another
killing killer player of the week. Because that guy can't see baseball, he can't hear baseball. That guy can't do anything.
How about Edwin Diaz's smile?
I don't care. I hate
that. Be up there.
Please, Peter Bendix. I hate
it's Bendix. Give it to the boy.
Yeah. All right. Congrats, Peter Bendix, on the new nominee for the HK Person of the Week. But that about wraps things up. We will have two more episodes later for the week. We're working on interviews. But again, this is the most, probably I'll say, easily the challengingest part of the year for all of us. And A, we're in finals. B, college baseball season. C, all the people we're trying to get on interviews are in the middle of their baseball season. So work with us on interviews. But we got a couple lined up in the future, as well as we've got a fun draft coming up later this week as well. So for Dylan, Nico, Henry, and James from SeaWorld, the side is retired.